One of the common complaints about church in general, not too much here, but I hear it in general, is that with church, why bother going? Because the same thing happens every single time. There's going to be an offering of some kind, right? Offering box is over there in case you missed it. There's going to be worship music. And most of the songs, 85% of the songs, you've sung 1,000 times. And you know what? The preacher, he's going to get up and he's going to talk about the Bible and he's going to talk about Jesus and he's going to talk about the gospel, right? How many of you haven't heard the gospel 100,000 times? The gospel of Jesus Christ, that Jesus came and lived the perfect life you and I can't live, died the death you and I deserve, separation from God, and he rose again so that whoever puts their trust in him can have eternal life, can be adopted into God's family, can have their sins forgiven, can be put on mission with God right now to build the kingdom of God, to make the kingdom of God visible wherever we go in the name of Jesus, right? We've heard that message. I've said that I don't know how many times at this church. So, like, why do we constantly need that encouragement in the gospel? Right? It's a one and done thing, right? When we trust Jesus, you are saved. When you trust Jesus, God, the Holy Spirit comes in. He takes your old heart, throws that out, gives you a new heart. He gives you a new life. He changes you. He transforms you. He adopts you into his family. It's a one and done deal. So why do they need constant encouragement in the gospel? As we turn to 2 Timothy, we know that Timothy was one of the Apostle Paul's closest disciples. He was like a son to him, and this is his last letter that we are aware of. It's his last letter that he writes. Why is this the last thing that he writes to Timothy? Let's just read this whole section here. 2 Timothy chapter 1, starting verse 1. It says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by God's will, for the sake of the promise of life in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly loved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve with a clear conscience, as my ancestors did, when I constantly remember you in my prayers night and day. Remembering your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I recall your sincere faith that first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and now I am convinced is also in you. Therefore, I remind you to rekindle the gift of God that is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but one of power, love, and of sound judgment. Ashamed of the testimony about our Lord or of me, his prisoner. Instead, share in suffering for the gospel, relying on the power of God. So he starts writing to Timothy, and we're not sure exactly why he's writing this. He's writing from jail. He's writing from prison. But the idea becomes very apparent. He tells Timothy, God didn't give you a spirit of timidity. And he says, don't be ashamed of me. Don't be ashamed of the gospel. So we don't know exactly why, but for whatever reason, Paul is sensing that in Timothy, that he's starting to get maybe a little more timid about the gospel. Maybe it's because Paul has been arrested because of the gospel. Maybe it's because Paul's in prison. We don't know exactly why he's writing this, but he is sensing this urgency. Timothy needs to be reminded of when he first believed in the gospel. That's what Paul's saying. Remember the gift you received. I laid my hands on you as you prayed to receive the Lord, and the Holy Spirit came within you. You became alive. It was like a fire lit under you. But now Paul is a little concerned. Timothy, don't be timid. Don't be embarrassed because I'm in jail because of the gospel. Like, we can understand that, right? Like, many of us have had children who've been in or out of jail, or family members in and out of jail, and that is a little shameful, isn't it? A little embarrassed. We don't talk about it, right? It's not on your Facebook post. Facebook doesn't even have a thing that says, how many children do you have in jail? How many relatives are in jail? Like, we don't talk about it that much. And so maybe, same back then, Timothy was like maybe he's a little ashamed, maybe he's a little timid. And Paul is like, I need to remind you of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I need to constantly remind you. And he says this in verse 6. I remind you to rekindle the gift of God that is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but one of power, love, and of sound judgment. Rekindle, right? Those of you guys who have wood furnaces, you know, or wood stoves, you know, those of you guys have fireplaces, you know, you can't just like throw a log in there, light it on fire and walk away and be like, that's fine. Every so often you have to come back and you've got to blow on it. You've got to put more wood on the fire. You have to rekindle it over and over and over, constantly again. Those of you who likes to do campfires, you can't just light it, let it go if you want it to continue on. You have to tend to the fire. And the same is true for the gospel. It's not just a one and done deal. Yes, when we trust in Jesus, we are transformed and we are made whole in Christ, but it doesn't end there. We all know people who joyfully accepted Christ at one point and then the worries of the world consume them. Following Jesus is a matter of having to rekindle that faith over and over and over again. So why do we need, we, and by we, I mean you, I mean me, and I mean the people around you that you know. Why do people need constant encouragement in the gospel of Jesus Christ? It's so that we will rekindle the power of God within us. So that we never become, it never becomes stale, it never becomes boring, it never becomes dull. That we are constantly being transformed by Christ. We need to encourage each other. We need to be encouraged in the gospel on a regular basis. Well, how do you rekindle the power of God within us? I think it's a fairly simple thing. One is you come to church, right? And like you guys came to church. That's fantastic. And you guys who are online, I mean, I don't know how, like you have 1,000 entertainment options for you at home right now. And you're choosing to watch a moderately produced a live stream of a service for an hour. I mean, you could be watching Netflix, which has a way bigger budget than me. You could be watching YouTube. You could see cute cat videos. I can't compete with cute cat videos, right? I can't. And yet you're choosing to do this. That's part of rekindling the power of God within us to remind us of the transformation that we have in Christ over and over and over again. Another way we do that is by reading the Bible. We read it to ourselves, but read it to others. Read it to your children. Read it to your family members. Read it to your relatives. Read it with your relatives. That's another way we rekindle the gospel of Christ within us, the power of God within us. How else do we do it? Sing worship songs, right? How many of you guys like to sing worship songs in your car? Yeah, a few of you. Man, it was not supposed to do this. Oh, I'm good. I'm fine. I'm going to put my phone in my back pocket. I'm good. But thank you. No, this is cool. Isn't it? Isn't it kind of cool? Maybe a little bit? No? So, what is this like? I mean, think about it like this. You guys are like cars in one way, right? You can't just have a car and like have an empty gas tank. Some of you fill up once, twice, three times a week so you can keep going. That's why we continue to need to rekindle the faith of God that is within us, the power of God that's within us. That's why we need to hear the gospel. We need to encourage each other with the gospel. You have to fill up the gas tank again. Or it's kind of like this, when we remind each other, encourage each other with the gospel, it's kind of like when we are being constantly reminded of the eternal truth of the invisible. The invisible, which we can't see. I mean, we can't see the gospel of Jesus. We can't really see the kingdom of God. We can't see the Holy Spirit working within us and through us. Like, we have a hard time seeing those things. So we need to be reminded that this is the reality we live in. It's kind of like a smoke detector. How many of you guys have smoke detectors in your house? Right? Why do you have a smoke detector? Well, because you don't always smell the gas. You don't always smell the fire. You don't always hear the fire. And it warns you if there's danger, you can get out. It's why miners used to take canaries into the coal mines, right? Right? They take the canaries into the coal mines. Why do they do that? Oh, it's because they love birds and they wanted a pet down there, right? No, it was because they had smaller lungs. And if there was a carbon monoxide pocket that they opened up and didn't know about, the bird would die. And they go, uh-oh, we better get out of here. The canary's gone. Whew, let's go. Well, that's a negative example. The positive example of that is we live in a dark world in the same way. There are invisible, eternal realities. The gospel of Jesus Christ is one. And we live in a dark world that is self-centered, that loves its sin, that loves to sin. And we need to constantly be reminded that what I see with my eyes is not all that there is. That there is a God in heaven who loves me. That King Jesus died for my sins, rose again, and he's coming back for me. He's coming back to redeem all things. That I don't have to live a selfish life the way the rest of the world encourages me to, but I can serve others in the name and the love of Jesus. By the way, that's another way you rekindle the power of God within you. Serve people in the name of Jesus. We need that constant reminder. So that's why Paul is he's encouraging Timothy, rekindle the power of God within you. Rekindle your faith. Rekindle your relationship with God. Those of you who have a significant other, when was the first time you told them I love you? Can you remember? By the way, those of you guys watching at home, Doug and Kara have a love seat camping chair. It's amazing. It's the most amazing thing ever. You're an inspiration to us all, at least to me. I remember when I told Kristen we were dating the first time I love you. You're smiling because you know. I said to Kristen, I go, I love you. And she responded, you better make sure you mean it when you say it. Right? But I remember saying that to her, and that's good advice, right? Like, don't flippantly say I love you. But here's the thing, right? If you can remember the first time you told your significant other, I love you, that was it, right? You told them, I love you, and it's a one-and-done deal. It's over. I don't have to reiterate that I love you anymore. You don't have to say anything, right? Or maybe your marriage, if you're married, you got married and then you said, okay, yes, I do. I never have to tell her I love her again. I never have to tell her or him I'm committed to them again, right? Like, I never have to, because it's a one and I've made vows before God in my community. What more do you want? Is that how marriage and relationships work? No. Kristen, how many times a day do I tell you I love you? A lot, right? It's not we're insecure. It's not a matter of, oh, like, you know, we have to, it's just a matter of human nature. We have to reaffirm the realities of our heart, the realities of our minds. I mean, could you imagine if, like, I told my children once in their lifetime, I love you, and never again? Well, I already told them once. What more do they want? Dad, do you love me? I said it back in 98. What more do you want? It hasn't changed. I would have told you or updated you, send you a memo. By the way, I revoked my love, right? Like, what would happen if I only told my children I loved them once in their life and never again? Got messed up kids, probably insecure kids. I don't know. I wouldn't suggest that you try it. That's the same as true for us in our walk with Christ. If we come to him, we go to church once, if we worship him once, if we read one Christian book, if we read the Bible once in our lives, we're like, okay, I'm good, right? I'm not going to walk away. Like, what does it do to our souls? We begin to believe the lie of this dark world that all there is what we can see and hear and taste and touch, and that I have to live for myself, and the only thing I have in life is to try and grab hold of whatever I can. And to live for myself. We begin to forget that, no, there is a God in heaven. He sent Jesus. He redeemed us. He forgave us from our sins. Sin is a big deal. And he will forgive us every time if we go to him. We'll begin to forget all of that. We'll begin to forget that I'm a son of God, that sisters, you are daughters of God, adopted into his family through the blood of Jesus. And then we'll live differently. Then we won't be on mission for God. Then we won't serve our neighbors in the name of Jesus. We'll just live for ourselves. We must constantly encourage each other with the gospel of Jesus Christ, so the power of God will be rekindled in us at all times. Some of you might object and say, you know what, at the introduction you were talking about church being kind of boring and everything, and it's the same thing over and over again, and you've probably heard this message a dozen times. Sure. Right. I remember I had a friend in high school, and this friend had a brother who was a little bit of a troublemaker in a Christian household and everything, And I was trying to mentor him and everything. And it was so frustrating because if myself or anyone else were talking to him and he was acting very selfishly or self-centered or not thinking about his family, you'd like read a Bible scripture to him and he would roll his eyes. He's like, yeah, I've heard that one before. Like, wait, what? Like any Bible verse you read to him, he was always like, oh, I heard that before. He'd go to church. Oh, I heard that before. I heard that before. It's like, so what? So what if you heard it before? This is the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is the way that we are transformed. We are adopted by the God of the universe. Who cares if you've heard it before? It's beautiful. It's wonderful. Let it change you. Let it transform you. I mean, you know, it's like, I like looking at my wife. She's beautiful. I love looking at her smile. It's like, oh, I've seen her before. Yeah, guess so. Like, I'm not from a gay. No, I love looking at my wife because I'm married to her and I adore her. I love looking at my wife. There's times she's like, what are you looking at? just admiring your beauty, right? Like, no one would say, oh, well, stop. You've already done it before. Ugh, you've seen her before. Take a picture. It'll last longer. Right? Pictures are nothing compared to the real person. The same thing is true for the gospel. It is beautiful, so we have to constantly encourage each other with it. You need encouragement. I need encouragement. The people in your lives need encouragement. Even if they've walked away, even if they're like, I've heard it, I don't care anymore. They need that encouragement. We must constantly encourage each other in the gospel so that our faith is rekindled, so the power of God is rekindled. That's why Paul is writing to Timothy, therefore I remind you, rekindle the gift of God that is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but one of power, love, and sound judgment. Rekindle it. If you don't know how to make good decisions, rekindle the faith. If you are having a hard time loving a person who doesn't deserve your love, rekindle your faith in Christ. I'm going to make you all do something right now, and you will have no choice. Yeah. You won't even be able to think about it. Nobody thinks about breathing until someone talks about thinking about breathing. And now you are all hyper aware of the breaths coming in and out of your lungs. You're aware of the air filling up. Some of you are trying to say, no, I'm not. Some of you are holding your breath. Some of you are breathing faster now, right? As soon as someone mentions breathing, we all start thinking about breathing. Just because you weren't thinking about breathing before doesn't mean you actually weren't breathing. It doesn't mean that breathing wasn't important. It doesn't mean that air doesn't exist or isn't coming in and out of your lungs. It does. Just because we're not thinking about it doesn't mean that it's not important and doesn't mean that it doesn't matter and doesn't mean that it's not happening. The same is true with the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is an invisible, eternal reality in the world that we live in. Yes, there is a God in heaven. Yes, sin is serious. Yes, God will judge sin. But he's made a way out for us that we can have eternal life through Jesus Christ, that we can have forgiveness through Jesus Christ, that we can have a transformed life through Jesus Christ, that we can be adopted by the God of the universe through Jesus Christ. Just because you're not consciously thinking about the gospel reality that we live in doesn't mean that it doesn't exist. Just because you're not conscious of Jesus walking among us in the person of the Holy Spirit doesn't mean that he's not doing it. Just because you're not thinking about God's future blessing and future justice doesn't mean that it's not coming. Just because we're not conscious about it doesn't mean that it doesn't matter and doesn't mean that it doesn't exist. That's why I think Paul told Timothy, rekindle the power of God within you. We have to do it, church. It's important. It's important. That's why we gather together. That's why we, God bless you, Nate. That's why you spend so much time working on the sound and Matt and Trent. This video thing work. That's why the worship band works so hard throughout the week to bring us music to help facilitate us to worship God. That's why it's important that we read scripture on our own. That's why it's important that we read scripture to other people. That's why it's important that we serve people in the name of Jesus. Because it's like breathing. If you don't think about your breathing, you're not... It's not even a reality for you, but it matters. If you think about all of the Olympians we are watching right now, they are hyper aware of their breathing. They have to be, especially the swimmers, right? They can't just be like, "Man, I'm not going to think about my breathing now," right? Like, you have to think about your breathing. You pop out and breathe and pop out and breathe. Like, you have to be hyper aware of your breath. We are Christians. We have to be hyper aware of the gospel. We have to be hyper aware of God's presence all around us. We have to be hyper aware that because he's changed us through the gospel of Jesus Christ, that we are to bring Jesus wherever we go, whether you're going to Subway after church, whether you're at home with your kids eating breakfast. We bring the power of God wherever we go through the person of the Holy Spirit. And so we encourage each other every single day. We encourage each other here at church. We encourage each other at our homes, in our businesses, in our places of work, with the gospel of Jesus Christ. So the power of God is rekindled in us at all times. Paul is writing to Timothy because I think he is passing the baton. Paul's life is coming to an end. He can understand what's about to happen. We know from history that probably shortly after he wrote this epistle, he was tried and he was executed as an enemy of the state because of his belief in the gospel and because he would not stop sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's true for all of us. Our time will come to an end, probably through natural means. But the whole purpose of the gospel of Jesus Christ isn't just to hold it on, it's to pass it on. Pass it on to another. Let them know. Encourage each other with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Smile. God loves you. Let's pray. Father, as we are about to take the Lord's Supper together, I pray that you will rekindle our faith in you. You will rekindle the power of God within us. You will help us to be reminded that King Jesus is alive, and if we've trusted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, God the Holy Spirit dwells within us. Help us to not be re-blinded by the desires of this world. Help us to give our lives over to something greater than us, the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to love our neighbors. Help us to love our enemies. Not in our own strength, not in our own power, but in the power of Jesus Christ. We know, Father, that apart from Jesus, we can do nothing. So I pray that you will help us to bend our knee, submit ourselves today to the Lord as we are about to take the Lord's Supper together. I pray, Father, right now as we corporately are about to come and take the elements, that in the quiet of our own hearts we confess our sins. We are people who have sinned against you. We confess those sins freely and pray that you will forgive us of all unrighteousness through the blood of Jesus Christ. We confess together corporately that King Jesus is resurrected. He is ascended to heaven. And he lives forevermore and one day will return to the earth to judge the living and the dead, and to resurrect his faithful followers here on the earth. We confess that our ultimate and only hope is in Christ Jesus. Help us to look on his beauty with reverent awe. In Jesus' name, we thank you and pray. Amen.